A morning. Today's daf Menachos is Tesh Zayin. We are in Tesvav Amid Beis. We are going to be doing a second version of the same exact discussion that we ended off with yesterday. The Mishnah Tesvav Amid Aleph spoke about the relationship between the Karban Todah and the lechem that accompanies the Karban Todah, and the same could be said regarding the Shtei Lechem, the Kifsei Atzeres, in that they have a causative relationship between the two. The Karban Todah, the animal itself, is shechted, and that serves as a matir for the lachmei todah. Same thing is true with the kifsei atzeres. Kifsei atzeres is shechted, and they serve as a matir for the lechem. And consequently, we learned from the Mishnah, Tesvav Amid Aleph, that if you have in mind a machshavas pigel on the animal, while shechting the animal, so that not only that machshavas pigel not only will incorporate the animal, but will also go to the lachmei todah as well. And so the animal and the todah and the lechem are going to be subject to pigel. They're both going to be mifugal. On the other hand, if, let's say, while shechting the todah, you only have the bread in mind and not the carbon in mind, so then the machshavas pigel is only going to go on the bread and not on the animal. Okay. And again, same point can be said regarding the kifsei atzeres as well. The question the Gemara dealt with yesterday, first of all, the Gemara dealt with the Sid with the most basic question of why that is, but the Gemara says the answer is kind of built into the halacha, right? The Gemara said very succinctly yesterday, lechem galal todah vein todah galal lechem. That the lechem is, as a result, it's rolling because of the karban, meaning, like, again, it's the causative relationship between the two, but the opposite certainly is not the case. The todah is eino galal de lechem. It's not rolling as a result of the bread. Okay, and same thing with the kvasim and the shtei lechem. Then the Gemara dealt with a question of tziruf, of what happens when I have a machshava. The Kohen has a machshava in mind that when he's doing the shechita of the either the karban todah or the kifsei atzeres, so he has in mind a kezias, but a kezias that's comprised of half a kezias made up of the animal and half a kezias made up of the bread. So would there be tziruf? And assuming there would be tziruf, is that going to include the animal? Is that going to also include the bread? To which the Gemara went through a sequence of, for sure it's not going to include the animal, for sure it's going to include the bread. What about a kal vachomer? And I'm only saying this right now in general sweeping phrases, because we're going to see it again, basically the same question, the same answer. It's just going to be slightly modified. Ika demasnila. Tezvav amid beis. It's about 10 lines from the top of the amud. First word in the line is Rabbanan. And here we go now with round two. Ike de masnala kvasim. It's the same question that we saw yesterday. Instead of going on the todah and lachmei todah, it's going on the kvasim and the shtei halechem. And here we go. Bamine Rebbe Lazar Meirav. Hashochet ze kvasim lechu kuzayis mehem amalach memahu la'af gulei. So the Kohen, while doing the shechita of the kifsei atzeres, is a minor full kuzayis. But a full kuzayis that is made up of half kuzayis of kvasim, half kuzayis of shtei halechem. Now, kvasim lo kami bayle hashtakulam alechem lo mefaglim mehen umelechem amibay. And again, let's go off with the starting assumption that for sure this machshava's pigle, even though it will register as a machshava, is not going to include the animal. Because we know that if a full kezias of lechem is not going to include the animal, half a kezias of lechem for sure will not include the animal. So the animal is not going to be mefugal. And that part's clear. However, what is open for discussion now is the tziruf of the half kezayis going to now affect the lechem and make the lechem mifugal? Is there going to be a tziruf so that now the half kezayis of the karban is going to now give the status change to the shtei alechem, so that the shtei alechem now is mifugal? So Amalei Af Bezu Alechem Mifugal Vakvasim Eina Mifugalim. Rav's answer, very decisive, that the animal is not mifugal, but the bread is mifugal. V'Amalei Mekavachomer. The Gemara says, now I don't understand. Over here, let's think about this from a logic perspective. Uma Mifagel Einu Mitpagel. So if the meat, which is considered the mifagel, because as we discussed yesterday, and we reviewed in the beginning of this morning, the meat serves has the ability to be mifagel, the bread. And meanwhile, in this particular scenario, you're telling me that the meat is eno mitpagel, doesn't get the status change. So habalafagel velo pigel, so now we're talking about bread, where bread cannot influence the meat. A machshava on the bread will not cause pigel on the meat. So if the bread, which already is in a weaker position, eno dishloit pagel, So if the meat is not going to be subject to pigel, and the meat's in a stronger position, bread for sure should not become pigel. Bread already starts off with by being in a weaker position. The Gemara says now such a kavachomer, a sustainable kavachomer. And the Gemara goes back to what we learned yesterday. And over here, the Gemara doesn't even bother mentioning the rest of it because, you know, see what we learned yesterday. Basically, what we learned yesterday is that in the event that a person has some seeds, plant them in somebody else's vineyard, and then there's growth, and that's what's called kalayim. However, as we discussed yesterday, kalayim is not just the physical action of planting seeds in a vineyard. It is also that there has to be an intent, a kavana, where the person wants it to happen. Obviously, the person who planted the seeds wanted the kalayim to happen. The owner of the vineyard did not want it. He wasn't asked, and he did not approve of such a move. It was done without his knowledge. Let's say it simply. He didn't know about it. So so we learned yesterday, the halach is that the person planting the seeds, his seeds become aser. Meanwhile, the vineyard remains mutter. And ve'amai, and the Gemara now we could just jump right back to the Gemara. Ve'amai le'ma kavachomer, maha oser eno ne'asar, habal eser v'lo asar eno din shlo yitaser. And the Gemara says, from a kavachomer standpoint, this doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. Meaning that ha'oser eno ne'asar, that which creates iser itself doesn't become usar. Habalas or velo asar, meaning that's the seeds, where the seeds can't inject iser into the grapes. So meanwhile, they're going to be, shouldn't the logic dictate that for sure they shouldn't become usar? So hachihashto, the Gemara says once again, that's right. They're not, the cases are not comparable. Because hausam kanavos velufas retora shars rai midirabananu dasiri. So when it comes to kalayim is only going to be prohibited only to limited number of seeds. And we discussed yesterday the nature of which seeds are going to be subject to the kalayim principle. See Rashi above, where Rashi discusses this. But hi, the avad isura kansur rabbanan, the avad isura lo kansur rabbanan. Over here, we're only talking about Nisa Darabanan. We're not talking about Nisa Daraisa. And so consequently, since we're only talking about Nisa Darabanan, so we're just looking at the person who violated the Isser. Since the owner of the seeds is the one who actually did the Maisa Isser, so therefore he got penalized. On the other hand, the owner of the vineyard did nothing wrong. He didn't do an Isser himself. He wasn't penalized. But over here, however, it's legitimate to argue there's a Kavachomer. And so therefore that ends round number two. It's the same exact format of what we discussed previously. Question Rav Elazar poses to Rav. Rav's answer, what about a kavachomer? Same format. Instead of the toad and the lachme toad, it was revolving around the kvasim and the ishte halachim. So mandam asni la a toad, the koshekin and kvasim. Now, if you learn version number one, so then you'll just simply say, okay. In other words, I learned in version number one. You could plug in the same exact discussion, the version number two, about the kvasim. However, maybe not the opposite. Mandamasin la kvasim hudu uzkuku zela tenufa. If you learn the question regarding the kvasim, you can make the following argument. Maybe this question about siruf only is more appropriate in the case of kvasim. Why? For a reason that we already articulated. This is now the second time we're making this point. Because when it comes to the relationship of the kifsei atzeres and the shtei alechem, so they are more connected to one another. We know that there's tenufa, that while the two lambs are still alive, the lambs are going to be waved together with the kvasim, the lambs are going to be waved with the shtei alechem, right, okay, that's better. It's going to be waved together with the shtei alechem, and perhaps this waving that's done together creates more of a connection between the two. And there it's more appropriate to argue that there's some type of tziruf between the two. But when it comes to the carbon toda, which is not waved together with the lachme toda, so maybe there's no connection between the two. I mean, obviously there is. Let me say it better. There's not enough of a connection between the two so that I could be mitzari for half a kazayas of meat together with the half a kazayas of the lachme toda. And so, okay, so the Gemara simply says that if you followed version number two of the Q&A, so then maybe you would have said that this is strictly limited to the kifsei atzeres and the shtei alechem. Rabbi Abba Zutei Ba'ilei Hachi, a third version of how the question and answer went, the Gemara gives us one more possibility of how the Q&A went. Ba'imine Rabbi Lazar Mei Rav, ha'shochet es ha'keves le'echol kizayis mecha ve'ro lamacha. You shech the keves, so that you're going to eat a kezias of its friend. its companion, and you plan on doing so tomorrow, you for sure had a machshava of chosaz mano. That part's clear. Here's the part that is not so clear. You're talking about a lamb on Shavuos, and you're talking about its chavero. What is its companion? There actually are two possibilities of what we could be talking about. Right. We could be talking about the second lamb, or we could talk about the loaf. Now, they both are legitimately called chavero. On one hand, the second lamb, because it's kivsei atzeres, the two lambs that are shal mitzvibor and shvuos. So we could view that as a chavero. On the other hand, we could also view the bread as chavero, because we know that the lamb serves as a matir for the bread. And so, therefore, the bread could be the chavero. And now, obviously, that makes all the difference in the world in terms of pigle. So, ma'u chavero, keves mashma v'lo mefagel. If the chavero is the second lamb, so then pigle will not register. Why? Because we already went over this. So, ein matir mefagel matir. Each lamb itself serves as a matir. And we're all in agreement that when you have one matir and a second matir, and one machshav is going on the second matir, so that does not result in pigle. Pigle is only when you have a item that is going to be the nitar, not the matir. On the other hand, the Gemara argues that lechem is the companion over here, and lechem obviously now is the nitar, and therefore that would result in pigle. Amalei tinisua. So he says, well, let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Shachar echem nekvasim lechom mimenu lamachar hu pigle v'chaveiro kasher. Mishnah tells us that if I shecht one of the lambs to eat from it tomorrow, so then who pigle v'chaver kasher? So it is going to be subject to pigle. On the other hand, it's the second animal is going to be kasher. Lecho mechavero lamachar. If on the other hand we shecht from its chaver, clearly over here a reference to the lamb, and I'll explain why it's for sure talking about the lamb. Shneim kshirim, they're both going to be kasher. Oh, they're both going to be kasher. Why? Very simple. Because when you have one lamb in mind with the when you're shechting one lamb while having the other lamb in mind, so you struck out on pigle, and that's a good kind of strikeout. In other words, the result is kasher. And again, kasher over here, like I've said already a number of times, does not mean congratulations. It just simply means that on a technicality, it's not going to result in pigle. Why not? Because you didn't have this lamb in mind in terms of which animal you're going to be eating chutzas mano, and the other lamb is a matir. And so therefore, it's just simply not going to result in pigle. Clearly, when we say the word chaver over here, we're talking about the second lamb, not the bread. Alma, chavero, kevesh, mashma. So it's clear that the chavero over there is talking about kevesh. So you see that the word chavero is talking about the second lamb. The Gemara says, Dilma, the parsh, v'amar, chavero, kevesh. And the Gemara over here, just to be slightly argumentative, the proof is not ironclad. Perhaps even though the Mishnah only said the word chavero, perhaps the case over there is talking about where you actually said the word, you articulated chavero, kevesh, the companion, the sheep. So maybe that's the case, and if that's the case, so then we still don't know what you would mean when you said chavero in of itself. We start with the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is really a follow-up of the previous Mishnah. It's the same point. It's just we're moving to a slightly different topic. Azevak mefagel es hanesachim. When it comes to the carbon, so a standard carbon has nesachim that is brought together with a carbon. In the course of this Masechta Menachos, we're going to be speaking about nesachim with much more specifics and much greater detail than we did back in Zvachim. So we'll talk more about it, but for our purposes right now, nesachim are attachments. They're accessories that come together with a carbon. Wine, oil, flour that is put together with a certain proportion, a certain ratio, and that's going to be put on the top of the mizbech. The wine, so to say, is drunk by the mizbech. You're pouring the wine on the top of the mizbech on the southwest corner. We'll talk more about that later. And the wine, and the oil and the flour are blended together and burnt on the top of the mizbech. This is called nesachim. Nesachim are an accessory to a karban. If you have in mind a machshava pigle on the karban, so it will spread to the nesachim. The opposite, of course, is not true. However, and that's what the Mishnah says, at what point is this going to happen? From the time that the Nesachim are placed into a klishar, this is the opinion of Rav Meir. Ha-Nesachim eino mefaglim es hazevach. But the reverse is not going to be true. That if you have the machshav is going on the Nesachim, where the Nesachim is going to be eaten beyond its allotted time, so then the animal will not, the carbon in which it's accessorizing, is not going to be subject to pigle, ketzad. So let's play this out. Shechting a carbon to eat it tomorrow. Again, let's assume tomorrow is beyond its time. So hu nesachav mefugalim. So then it, the carbon, and the nesachim are now subject to pigal. They are now mifugal. Anyone who consumes the carbon or the nesachim is going to be subject to kares. Lahakriv nesachim lamachar. Pigal, I'm sorry, hanesachim mifugalim, hazevachenim mifugal. But however, the nesachim, which are just simply an attachment, they are subordinate. So therefore, a machshava on the nesachim will only affect the nesachim and not the carbon itself. You probably noticed in the Mishnah that the Mishnah says that this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Tanu Rabbanan. Let's see the Braisa. Nischei behem chayavim aleihem mishum pigol mimnei shedam hazevach matiram li karev divrei Meir. So the Braisa over here, even in clearer terms, articulates that this is Rabbi Meir's opinion that nesachim are subject to pigol. And the reason why is because they follow a construct of pigol. The construct of pigol is that there's a matir, there's a nitar, and when something becomes nitar through the matir, so it's subject to pigol when the machshava is occurring while the matir is being offered. So nesachim follow the same construct, and therefore a mayor is going to argue that it's subject to pigol. Amar lo l'Rameir v'halo adam evi zivcho hayom nesachav ad yud yamim. What do you mean? When it comes to the nesachim of carbon, so there is no allotted time, right? Best to offer the nesachim on the day that the carbon is offered, but it doesn't have to be. In other words, the nesachim could be brought the next day, the nesachim could be brought a week later. The Gemara always uses the number 10 in this regard, 10 days, but the point being is that nesachim can come at a much later time. So there is no time structure when it comes to nesachim, and so the Chachamim said, so therefore, there's no pigol as it relates to Nesachim. Amar lahem afani lo amarti ela bebayin im hazevach. So a mayor concedes and limits his position only to a scenario, a circumstance in which it's brought, the Nesachim are brought in conjunction with the carbon. Amar lahem afshel lishnosa lezevach acher. And to which the Chachamim still counter and say, look, Nesachim have a lot of flexibility. Nesachim are an attachment. Meanwhile, what can happen with Nesachim is you can detach it from this carbon and reattach it to another carbon. So there's a tremendous amount of flexibility that exists within Nesachim. Nesachim are never going to be influenced by the carbon itself vis-a-vis pigel. Am Rava Kasav Rameir Hukvu B'Shchita Kalach Mitoda. And Rava says that Rameir obviously subscribes to a position that the construct of Nesachim follows very similar to that of Lach Mitoda. Just like by Lach Mitoda, so the bread is now connected. It's hukvu'u b'shchita through the shechting of the carbon toda. So to the nesachim follow the same construct. Obviously, Rameir views the relationship between the nesachim and the carbon very similar, identical to that of the lachmei toda and the carbon. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara. Now we're going to do the same thing one more time, and now we're going to do it with the lo shemen, with the oil of the mitzorah. Something that has come up again and again throughout Zvachim and Menachos as part of the Tahara process. The log of shemen is used in the application towards the mitzvah. It follows up from the dam ashem, from the blood of the carbon ashem. First, the carbon ashem is applied to the three areas of the mitzvah, earlobe, right thumb, right toe. And then, after the blood is placed over there, then you have the oil being placed over there. Right? Not all of the log shemen, as we already discussed extensively, but it doesn't matter. In other words, part of the log shemen. So according to Rabbi Meir, let's see the brayse inside. Tanu Rabbanan. Log shemen shel mitzorah chayavim la mishum pigol mipnei shedam asham matiro lebahonos divrei Meir. Rabbi Meir is even going so far to say that as long as you have a construct of a matir nitar, so the nitar now is eligible to become mifugal. So if, let's say, while shechting the carbon asham, discussed how the oil of the mitzorah is going to be applied at a later period in time, so then it's going to be subject to pigol. So Amar lo l'Rameir v'alo adam evi ashamo hayom v'lugo mikan v'ad yud yamim. And again, the counter argument of the Chachamim over here is, what do you mean? The oil for the mitzvah does not have to be brought on the same day as the carbon asham. It could be brought 10 days later. There's no time structure, there's no time construct as it relates to the oil of the mitzvah. Amar lehem afani lo amati ela beva'im ha'asham. And Rameir's counter argument is, you're right. I'm talking about where the oil, the lod shemen, is coming on the same day as the carbon asham. Amar lei afshel lishanos la asham acher. And once again, what the Chachamim will counter with is that the oil of the mitzvah also has a flexibility where it's an attachment, but at the same time you could detach it from this mitzvah and reattach it to another mitzvah. So once again, it's not intrinsically linked to the asham. Amar Rava, because of Rameir, who for b'shchita kalach mitoda. And again, Rava, an explanation of Rameir, says that look, as far as Rameir is concerned, he views the relationship of the log of the mitzvah to be very similar, again, not similar, identical to that of the lachme toda to the carbon toda. Just like the toda and the lachme toda are hukvu zelazeh, they're connected one with another, so Rameir obviously feels that the same thing could be said regarding the oil of the mitzvah together with the asham of the mitzvah. Right. In other words, and if he did bring it later, so then it sounds like from the Gemara that then he would concede. He's only limiting his scenario to where it's brought on the same day. It's brought together. Are we on the Mishnah Tezayin and Aleph? Pickle becomets velo belavona, belavona belo becomets. Remeir Omer pickle vechayavim alav kares. So here we go. We once again reintroduce ourselves to the topic of being mefagel bechatzi matir. We touched on it earlier in Menachos, but this is now the Mishnah that's formally rolling it out, the topic of being mefagel chatzi mater. It's a topic that we covered back in Zvachim as well, and let's review. On occasion by a carbon, there's a double matir. In other words, two things need to be brought up onto the Mizbech, and then and only then is the carbon now going to be consumable. And there are numerous cases. In fact, in the Mishnah over here, the Mishnah is going to cover a lot of the cases of where you have a double matir. Not all the cases, but many of the cases. So I'm going to let the Mishnah go over all the cases, but let's go over case number one of the Mishnah outside. Well, standard mincha. A standard mincha has a double matir. A mincha, the shirayim of the mincha, cannot be consumed until both the komets of the mincha and the lavona of the mincha are taken and burned on the top of the mizbeach. Then and only then can the rest of the mincha, the shirayim of the mincha, be consumed. So for every mincha, it has a double matir. Now let's say the machshava pickle occurs during one of the two matirin. So this is now brings us to the topic of being mefago bechatzi matir. So having the machshava's pickle, but only having it during one of the two matirin, or to say it better, half of the matir. So under those circumstances, is it going to result in pickle? And the answer is, it's a machlokas. Rav Meir is of the opinion that being mefagel b'chatzi matir will in fact result in a pigel, and the chachamim disagree. That in order to result in pigel, you need a matir shalem, you need a full matir. In the case of a mincha, it's got to be both komets and lavona. Let's make a point and let's make it really clear. If you look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says pigel b'komets, and look at the first two words of that Rashi. It's really important. Rashi writes, Behaktaras komets, chishev al shirayim. So we're talking about the burning of the komets. You know why Rashi says that we're talking about the burning of the komets? I know. And the reason why I know is because of a Rashi earlier, just a couple days ago. I skipped the Rashi a couple days ago, and I don't want to say I lost sleep over it, but it bothered me that I skipped the Rashi. So it gives me a great opportunity to go back to the Rashi, and let's see the Rashi inside. If you look back on your Dalam and Aleph, so Rashi writes the following. It's a really critical Rashi. Ula afuki midra meir. It's on Yudalam and Aleph, and the Rashi is halfway down on the page. The dibra maskol la afuki midra meir. I'll read from the beginning of the Rashi, but I'll tell you where it gets exciting and the part that I really want to pick up on. The amr b'sof masisa mefagim ba'avodas chatzimate dekani shachar echem nekvasim la'chol shtei chalos lamacha Rameir omer pikov v'chayev malav kares. So here Rashi is referencing Rameir's position, the one that we're looking at right now, and Rashi writes, and here's the part where we're highlighting. V'i kasha, Rashi says, now I bet you're wondering, says Rashi, hakometz es amincha, am I posel b'machshavaso? Let's say you do the act of kamitza. Now the act of kamitza is, if you have a machshava pigov, chutzas mano, so it disqualifies the mincha, it will make consumption of the shiraim, an isser kares, and Rashi says, wait one second, that's just kamitza. What happened to the lavona? Rashi writes, am I posel b'machshava? So how avodas chatzi matir hu? That's only half the matir. Da'ika nami lavona. Isn't there also lavona as well? So teritz b'kemitza v'adai avodas shleimahi. Da'aleka kemitza b'lavona. So Rashi says what you have to do is you have to make sure we know which avoda we're talking about. If we're, again, by every mincha, there are four avodas. Kemitza, Kiddush Kometz, Holacha, and Haktara. The four avodas of every mincha. Since we discussed since day one of our Masechta. When you're talking about the Kemitza, there's only one thing that goes through the action of Kemitza, and that's a Kometz. Meaning by the Lavona, you don't do a Kemitza on the Lavona. Yes, it's true, you gather it together. Yes, it's true, you're going to burn it on the top of the Mizbeach, but you don't do the act of Kemitza. The act of Kemitza is only done with the flour and the oil of the Mincha. So when we're talking about the Avoda of Kometz, Kemitza, Avoda number one, so there's only one thing to talk about, and that's the Kometz, meaning the part of the Mincha that's taken in your fist. The Lavona is just simply not, it's N.A., it's not applicable. There is no Kemitza as it relates to the Lavona. So when you're having a Machshavas Pigol on the act of Kemitza, so that is a full Avoda, because there's no Lavona to speak about. But when we're talking about burning, what gets burned on the Mizbeach? So there are two things that get burnt on the Mizbeach. That's the Kometz and the Lavona. So since it's the Kometz and the Lavona, so when we're talking about Haktara, Avoda number four, so there, that incorporates two things, and therefore, a Machshava of one of the two is only Chatzi Matir. Hopefully at this point you're wondering, okay, so we covered number one, we covered number four. What about something like, well, Kiddush Kometz I think is pretty clear. Kiddush Kometz only is for the Kemitza, not for the Lavona. How about Halacha? All right. Well, Hagasha actually occurs before Hagasha. I know it's confusing. Hagasha is something done before the Kemitza. It's an action that's done even beforehand. What about Halacha? So is Halacha going to be covering just the Kometz, or is the Hagasha also going to be covering the Lavona as well? So I'm glad you asked that question. The Gemara is going to ask that question a little bit later on. Good. It's funny. I paused in my mind for a moment because I was wondering, the rabbi was asking whether or not there is a Kiddush Kli by a Lavona. And I myself am not 100% sure. I'm not sure.
No, I think I read somewhere it doesn't.
Okay. I fine. If I were guessing, I'd say it doesn't. You think it does? Okay. So fine. So inconclusive right now. Okay. Anyway, so that's a really important point. And so Rashi over here in our Mishnah just alludes to it. The Rashi on Daf Yudala made it very clear. It is the simple pshat of the Gemara, and it's just great to work with now. And then of course we're going to so appreciate the Gemara's question later on regarding the halacha. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's start the Mishnah once again. Now that we're totally familiar with the issues at hand. So pick up a kometz v'lo b'lavona, so you are mefaga b'kometz. And again, we're talking about the haktara, the burning of the kometz. So you're mefaga b'kometz, not with the lavona. Or, the opposite also would be true. B'lavona v'lo b'kometz. Or let's say you had a machshavas pigel during the burning of the lavona, but not during the kometz. Rav Meir omer pigel v'chayim v'lav kares. So according to Rav Meir, this will materialize into pigel. Even though it's chatzi matir, Rav Meir says that you are mefaga b'chatzi matir. And the Chachamim say that it will not result in pigel. Now, it certainly sounds like from the Chachamim that's disqualified, but in other words, but it won't result in pigel with an Isser Karis simply because it is not the full Matir. The Mishnah makes a point, which quite frankly is obvious. Maybe the Gemara is not going to ask the question, Pshita, but it is an obvious point. If we're talking about a mincha that doesn't have lavona, the mincha of a chote, the mincha of a sota, where their mincha is sans lavona, so therefore there's only the kometz to talk about. So if the machshav is during the kemitza, or during the haktaras of kemitza, being that that's the only avoda, that's the only matir, so therefore it will materialize in pigle. Okay. Shachet echad min hakvasim la'echol beis chalos. If let's say you shecht one of the sheep, so again, now the two sheep of Shavuos is another example of a double matir. So here we go once again with a double matir, and again a machshava during one of the two, otherwise known as half. So shachar echem nekvasim lechol beis chalos lamachar hikter echem nebezichim lechol beis sedarim lamachar. Another example are the two spoonfuls of lavona that rest on top of the lechem haponim. where when the Kohen burns one of the two bazichin, he considers how he's going to eat the lechem upon him tomorrow. So once again, same story. It is now a machshavas pigel for half of the matir. Remeir omer pigel v'chayev malav karis v'chachamim omrim ein bokaris ad shifagel v'chol hamatir. You can't ask the question. I'm just telling you right now, the Gemara is not going to ask the question, well, what's the tzrichusa? What's the necessity of all these cases of the Mishnah when they're really just speaking to the same idea? The Gemara is not going to ask that question. Shachet echem nekvasim lachom mimenu lamachar. If you shecht one of the sheep to eat it tomorrow, hu pigel v'chaver kosher. So the sheep of we're talking about the two sheep that are offered on Shavuos. Again, we're talking about them. But here the machshava is not going on, the machshava is going on the sheep itself. So if it's going on the sheep that you are shechting, so that obviously will result in pigel. Its neighbor, its companion sheep, is not going to be subject to pigel. In other words, the two sheep, even though they are a double matir, but a machshava of one is not going to affect the other. And lechom mechavero lamachar shneim kshirim. Now this Mishnah should be familiar because we just learned this Mishnah together in the Gemara on the previous sugya. If, however, let's say you have, while shechting this sheep, you have the other sheep in mind, so then kosher. So on a technicality, no pigel whatsoever. And the reason why is because you didn't have a machshava on the sheep you were working with, so that obviously is not going to be mifugal. And on the companion sheep, well, that sheep is a matir, and ein matir mifagal matir. That you can, while doing one matir and thinking about another matir, it just simply won't result in pigel, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta. We start with the Gemara Amarav, Machlokish and Asan, as a comment, Bishtika Veselavona, Bemachshava. Now, yes, it's true, says Rav, there's a Machlokish in the Mishnah between Rameir and the Chachamim regarding the topic of Chatzi Matir. It's an inescapable conclusion of the Mishnah. That's true. However, Aval, Nasan, a comment, Bemachshava. Let's say you do it in the following order. You burn the kometz, followed then by the lavona. So you did both. You had a machshava during the kometz, which you did first. So then, what Rav is now going to argue, in such a case, there's no machlokas. Even though you had no machshava during the lavona. Vesa lavona b'shtika, divrei hakol pigel. Why? Because Rav subscribes to the following idea. This is now the second time we're hearing this, not in Menachos. We heard this already back in Zvachim, and it's a repeat discussion here in Menachos. Like I mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta. Menachos is a companion Masechta. So, Shekol Ha'oseh, Aldas Rishonahu Oseh. Because of this idea of inertia. And here it's bad inertia. But it's the idea of inertia. Meaning, because you had a machshava doing matir number one, and because you required a matir number two, we will therefore assume that there is a carryover machshava from one to two, so that just like you had a machshava's pigle for Haktara ha kometz, so too you also had a machshava of chutz zmano for the haktara of lavona as well. Kol ha osa adas rishonahu osa, and then there is a lengthy discussion. Right, all the notes on the daf discuss whether this has application to other areas in halacha. Meaning, this obviously works against you. Can it work for you? All right, let's say in other words, when you're tying tzitzis together, so you have to have it has to be lishma l'shem mitzvos tzitzis. And so can you have the machshav in the beginning, and can that carry you through to the end, or do you have to continuously say l'shem mitzvos tzitzis? Same thing with the baking of matzah. Matzah also has to be baked l'shma, etc., etc. So, okay, so this is actually has application to other areas in halacha. Shmuel Amar, Adayni Machlok. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says no. In other words, Shmuel says he doesn't seemingly, what he does is he rejects the whole concept, seemingly. And that, no, even in a case where your machshava went on the kmitza, and even though you did that first, and even though you were quiet for the haktaras halavona, Shmuel will say that's still a machlokas in the Mishnah, and still the chachamim, who disagree with Rameir, will say that that's not going to result in pigol, because that's only being mefagel with chatzi matir. And again, the simple pshat of Shmuel is that he disagrees with the principle of kol ha'osa, adas rishon hu ha'osa.
Isn't that a different case, Rabbi Sugarman? Case where you bring kometz and lavona, they're two separate things. With a sheep, you could say that they're a unit. That they're a unit, right? So why is it that you can separate the unit? In other words, if you have machshava on one, it covers both. They're both a unit. You need to bring two.
No, but the two sheep are the matir for the shtei halechem. You can't eat the shtei halechem until both sheep are offered. Right. So in other words, so when you shecht one sheep, so that only serves as one of the two matirim. You still need to shecht the second sheep. They both are matirim. Yosef Rava Kamala Lashmaita. So Rava's now going over the sugya, and specifically the opinion of Rav. Because what Rav just did is he significantly limited the machlokus of our Mishnah. The machlokus of our Mishnah will only be in a case where you're mafaga b'chasi matir and the second matir. But if you're mafaga on the first matir, according to Rav, we have consensus now that it will be pigol. Why? Because kola osa adas rishonu hu osa. And so after going over this, so now they ask the following question. So the Amoraim now are challenging based on other Tanaitic statements. Here we have a Tosefta. Ba'medvar mamurim be'kemitza uve'matan kli uve'hilach. Aval ba'lo lehaktara nasan es ha'komets b'shika ves ha'lavonim b'machshava. As the comments be machshav ve'salavon b'shtika, Reb Meir Omer pikul v'chayav malav karis v'chachamim Omerim ein bo karis ashi yifag b'chol amatir. So the Brice over here says that when it comes to the first three avodas of kemitza and kiddush kli and holacha, so there that's all about the comments, and the machshav is going to be strictly on the comments, and the lavona is not part of the discussion. But once you get to avoda number four, the burning, so the burning incorporates both Lavona and Komets, and therefore, if I have a machshava for one of the two, so the Tosefta here tells us what we now know because of our Mishnah, it's a machlokus between Rameir and the Chachamim, being mefag b'chatzi matir. Rameir says it results in pigol, and the Chachamim says it doesn't. Did you notice the order in which the machshavas were presented here in this Tosefta? I'm going to review the last couple of lines of the Tosefta. The examples are, Nasan as a Komets b'shtika, Ves halavona b'machshava. Next example, es hakometz b'machshava, ves halavona b'shtika. The examples over here, the second example of the Tosefta, is that you had a machshava first, and then you require for the second, and what do we have? A machlokus between Rameir and the Chachamim. Hey, according to Rav, isn't it the case that in such a scenario there should be no machlokus? And so how does he, when he's presented with such a Tosefta, how does he read the Tosefta? So the Gemara makes a couple of suggestions. Ketani miyan nasan as a komets. Well, first the Gemara articulates the question. Ketani miyan nasan as a komets b'machshava v'esal avonim b'shtika upligi. And there's a debate. Ema, so one suggestion of the Gemara is ukvar nasan esal avonim b'shtika mi'ikara. Well, it's going to be a tough reading of the Tosefta, but maybe what the Tosefta meant was is that he already offered the Lavona quietly. Meaning, even though the Lavona was presented number two, maybe what the Tosefta meant was, but the Lavona was already offered in silence. And then he offered the Kemitza with a Machshava. So the Gemara says, first of all, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar. There are two questions in which I really don't like that pshat. Number one, Chad Haina Kamaisa. There are two examples in the Tosefta, the way you just described the second example, it's now a direct repetition of the first example. And so what's the Tosefta doing, giving two examples of which are the same? And va'od hatanya acharkach. And you read the Tosefta, and the Tosefta is clearly talking sequence when the Tosefta uses the words acharkach. So it's really difficult to say that's what the Tosefta is talking about. The Gemara gives a second suggestion, Tigrim Rev Chanina, Beveiz Deos. Maybe another suggestion about what the Tosefta is describing. It's describing not one Kohen doing the Avodah, but actually two Kohanim doing the Avodah. Meaning, if it were one Kohen, so we have this rule of Kola Osa, Adas Rishonu Hu Osa. So if there's a Machshava that occurs during the first Avodah, and there's silence in the second Avodah, so we assume that there's carryover. However, that's only when one person is doing the Avodah. If two people are doing the Avodah, so no, we obviously can no longer make that assumption. Just because you're thinking something and you articulate it doesn't mean that I necessarily have to follow through with the same exact machshava. And so if I'm quiet, so that doesn't necessarily mean that I am in agreement with your articulation. That could be the case of the Tosefta. Again, it's certainly a dochek, right, to say that that's what the Tosefta is talking about, but to defend Rav, so we can give such an ukimta. The Gemara gives an ukimta in order to defend Rav's position. Tashma. Gemara quotes another Tosefta. So this Tosefta over here is talking about the blood that is sprinkled on Yom HaKippurim, and for that matter, also blood that's sprinkled in the Heichal of the Parhelm Davashal Sibor or the Par Kohen Gadol, meaning Chatos Apnimis. So sometimes there are sprinklings that total somewhere within the range of 43 to 48. That's Yom Kippur. We're going to see the numbers today. Sometimes it ranges. Sometimes it's 11. But in other words, but the point is that there are sequences and series of hazaos that are done in the Heichal for these karbanos. This Tosefta has the number of Yom Kippur's 43 sprinklings. We'll go over the numbers later. Or the 11 of the Parhelm Davashal Sibor, or the 11 of the Par Kohen Gadol. Now, the number 11 over here, very simple. 7 towards the Parochis. In other words, you're in the Heichal with the blood of these karbanos. 7 towards the Heichal. 4 on the 4 corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. That's 11. So, Pigel. Bein B'Rishona, Bein B'Shnia, Bein B'Shlishis. And you had a Machshavas Pigel during series number 1, series number 2, series number 3. And so now let's go back to Yom Kippur, and now let us detail what happens on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, there are 3 series of zrikas that are done, hazaos that are done, with the blood of both the goat, the seir la'ashem obviously, and the par of the Kohen Gadol. Now, for both of them, you take the dam, and you bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and 8. Achas lamala v'sheva lamata. Then you go out into the Heichal, and then another 8 towards the Paroches. Then you go to the Mizbech HaPnimi, 4 more. So what do you have? You have 8, 16, plus another 4. That gets you to 20. And then 7 on the top of the Mizbech, B'tia Roshal Mizbech. But hold off on the number 7 for just a moment. Now, then you do the same exact thing with first you do the par of the Kohen Gadol in the sequence that I just laid out. And again, series number 1 is the Kodesh Kadashim. Series number 2 is towards the Heichal. And series number 3 is on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Then you take the par of the Seir, you take the blood of the Seir and you repeat. Series number 1 of 8 in the Kodesh Kadashim. Series number 2 of 8 towards the Paroches. And then series number 3 on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Okay, let's do the numbers this way. So let's go 8, 8, 8, 8, meaning those are for both animals in the Kodesh Kodashim and the Heichal. So that gets you to 32. Then what happens is you mix the two bloods together and you hit the 4 corners. So that's another 4. So that gets you to 36 plus the 7 on the top of the Mizbeach, and that gets you to the number 43. That's the 43 mentioned in the Braisa. Right now, for our purposes, it's better to organize it in Series 1, Series 2, Series 3, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Paroches, and the Mizbeach HaPnimi. If you're Mefagel during any one of those series, Rebbe Meir Omer, Pigel V'Chayim Alav Karis, V'Chachamim Omerim Ein Bokaris, Ashi Yafagel B'Chol HaMater. And so now, each series is but just part of the entire Hazah. So in other words, having a Machshavas Pigel during one of the series is only Chatzi Matir. So now everyone is going to hold L'shitasam. According to Rameir, you're Mefaga B'Chatzi Matir. Now according to the Chachamim, you're Eino Mefaga B'Chatzi Matir. Now, considering that we're talking about Yom Kippur, so how many Kohanim can be involved in this Avoda?
One.
Right. Only one. Good. Only the Kohen Gadol. And so now, even though if you can already see the question that we're going to ask against Rav, the defense that we gave previously, that we're talking about multiple Kohanim, is going to be difficult over here, difficult but not impossible. Okay, and you'll see what I mean.
What was your pickle for what?
In other words, the pickle is that while the Kohen is sprinkling it, he says that we're going to eat the karban beyond its allotted time. Now, granted, the karban is not to be eaten by anybody. Right, that part's true. In other words, this is a chatzos apnimius. The imurim are going to be burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is going to be burned outside of the gimel machanos. But the imurim, let's say, the kohen makes the articulation, the imurim I'm going to burn tomorrow when it's a less busy day and I have more energy. Sure. Okay. So in other words, okay, so you can result in pigel. It is the blood is a matir. So katani mia. So now pigel ben brishon ben brishniya ben brishlishis upligi. And so now, wait one second. According to you, Rav, if there was a machshava pigel during series number one, so aren't you Rav of the opinion that kola osa al das rishonu osa? So with a machshava that we started series number one with pigel, so then that should carry over to series numbers 2 and 3. And you, Rav, or should be of the opinion, or are of the opinion, that there's no machlokas. We just learned the brisa together. There's a machlokas. So, ki v'chite ma'achanami v'shtei deos. And you want to tell me that what? That maybe series number one was done by one Kohen Gadol, and series number two was done by a second Kohen Gadol. Now, I told you, it's going to be really difficult, but not impossible. There could be a couple of examples where we're going to have a changing of the guard for the Kohen Gadol. One is that the Kohen Gadol unfortunately died between Hazan number one and Hazan number two. Or, let's make it a little less dramatic, the Kohen becomes Tameh between Hazan number one and Hazan number two. Series number one and series number two. So now what you're going to have is that you're going to have a sub Kohen. And remember, part of the preparation for Yom Kippur is we deputize somebody to be there just in case something happens to the Kohen Gadol. We have backup. So the Gemara says now like this. Now, this takes us deep into Masechta Yuma and deep into a machlokus of the following. In the event that we're going to have a substitution, mid hazaos, does that now require the next Kohen Gadol to start again and bring a new par? And the answer is, that's a machlokus. So the Gemara now says, Hanicha laman d'amar bepar ve'afilu b'dama shel par. If you subscribe to the viewpoint that you can have now your next Kohen, the tagged in Kohen, doing the avoda, so he could just simply pick it up right where it was left off, and you don't need a new animal. And if you subscribe to that viewpoint of when the Torah says bipar, it doesn't mean that you need the bull; it just simply needs you the blood of the bull. And so, therefore, we have it. We have a defensive rav. But if you subscribe to the viewpoint in Yuma that if you're going to get a new Kohen Gadol tagging in, so it is not good for him to just simply pick up right where it was left off, you need a new bull. So because he needs a new bull, so now we have no defense of Rav. We've got to start again. So Amar Rava, Hacha b'mayiskinan, Kigon shepigal b'rishona, v'shasak b'shnio pigal b'shlishis. So the Gemara says, well, okay, you know what? I can give another defense of Rav. And you know what the defense would look like? It looked like this. The Kohen Gadol, now I can editorialize for just one moment, some Kohen Gadol. Okay, editorial now is officially over. So the Kohen Gadol now has the following Mashavas Pigel during series number one and series number three. And that would be a wonderful defense of Rav. Why? Because the Amrin and Isak Kolosa Dashrishon Uosa Mihadar Piguli Bishlish Islamali. Because if you subscribe to this idea that the machshava of pigul is going on adash rishona, so then the machshava for the first series would have been enough, should have been enough. That by virtue of the fact that he had a machshava during the third series, clearly is a clear indication that there was no carryover for number two. Okay, and that could be the case of the brisa. Admittedly, it's not really clear that that's what the brisa is describing, but again, we're trying to defend Rav, and so even though, yes, it's a little bit of a dochek, but we could do that. Maskevla Ravashi midi shasa katani. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara doesn't like it. It really doesn't fit into the Brisa. The Brisa doesn't talk about how he was silent during the second series. And Am Ravashi achim b'maiskin kagon shepikol b'rishono v'shnei v'shlishis de'amrin isakadach kol ha'osa adas rishono osa mihad de'bekule b'shnei alamali. I'm sorry. Let me read it better. Let me read it a little more carefully. He says kagon shepikol b'rishono v'shnei kama. He had a machshavas pigel during one and two, and uvishlishis. And in the third one, I know the Gemara needs a little bit of editing over here, but you see it on the margins. V'shasak b'shlishis. During the third one, he was quiet. So now, if we're going to operate with the principle of kola osa al das rishono osa, he only needed the machshava during one. He didn't need it during one and two. By virtue of the fact that he had machshava during one and two, so that shows us that he was not operating with the principle of kola osa. Isak edacha kola osa al das rishono osa, mihad debikula bishni alamali. Why did he have a machshava during series number two? The ha bain bain katani. The Gemara says again, it's a nice defense of Rav. It really doesn't read well in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Bain Barishona, Bein b'shniya, bein b'shlishis, a simple reading of the Braisa is that he had a machshava either during series number one or during series number two or during series number three. If that's a simple reading of the Braisa, it means to say that he had a machshava during series number one, not two and three, and yet there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and yes, it's difficult to defend Rav. And the Gemara concludes the entire sugya by you, but with one word of kasha. You're right, it's difficult. Notice the Gemara doesn't say the word tiyufta. It means that this is not a backbreaking question, but certainly it's a question. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Let's get to the next two dots. The Gemara here reminds us of a rule which is rudimentary. It's ABCs as it relates to pigel, and that is, when does pigel materialize? Only when you follow through with the rest of the avodas and you do them correctly. Amar mar ye ratzeh. Gemara quotes the pasuk in Parshat Tzav describing the pigel using the word ye ratzeh karatzas kasha kacharatzas pasul. And it's a point of interest. Again, it's a basic point when it comes to pigel, is that you have to do all the avodas. So mar ratzas kasha achikruv kol amatirin afar ratzas pasul achikruv kol amatirin. Good. So this is the most basic rule as it relates to pigel. And meanwhile, v'hai. Now let's go back to our Yom Kippur scenario. Our Yom Kippur scenario. So what happened? Coming out of Machshavas pigel during sprinklings number one. V'hai. Kevin dechasheba bifnim. Pasley. So now that means that as far as the blood is concerned, so what? How do we look at the blood from this point going forward? Is that blood serviceable? The Gemara is right now assuming no, it's not. Ki made. And now, as you're sprinkling Behechal, series number two, Maya Ba'amahu Dekamade. So basically, I know it's physically blood, but halachically, it's water. You're sprinkling water. So I don't even understand, how can any of this materialize to pigol, when meanwhile, you're not doing the rest of the avoda? Meaning, you may be doing the action, but halachically, that blood is no longer serviceable. That's what the Gemara's assumption is. You're probably wondering, Isn't this true by any act of pigel? Meaning that once you have a machshav of pigel, so what becomes of the rest of the avoda that you do in that you're no longer operating with serviceable blood? Rashi asks this very question. Rashi is the fourth line down. V'haikev d'chash v'chulei. V'i kasha. Rashi says, I bet you're wondering. V'komets. V'sho chinami lema. D'lo mefagel d'chi chashiv. If so, kizarek maya ba'amazarek. Why isn't this question now a universal question that applies to every case of pigel? Rashi answers, La pirchehi, da hasam osa avoda she pigel ba nasa kula bikdushasa, avahana chazaos chad avodahi. Rashi answers beautifully. Rashi says, look, when you have a machshav of pigel of shechita, so now the shechita has come to a conclusion. Now, yes, there's more things to do. Kabbalah Saddam, holacha. But those are new activities. So those are new activities, new avodas, so they're not going to be canceled by the bad shechita, by the pigel shechita. Over here, it's not a new activity. It's sprinkling of the blood followed then by more sprinkling of the blood. So it's not a new activity. So over here, that's why the question stands here in this particular scenario of Yom Kippur, as opposed to a standard avoda where the machshava and the avoda come to a conclusion. And now you're moving on to another avoda. Rashi says, that's why the question is only relevant to the Hazaros of Yom Kippur. Back to the Gemara. The high. Came to Chasheba Bifnim. So I'm sorry, what just happened? Where did I go? Sorry, I just found my place. Amaraba. Gemara is going to give two answers to this question. One, Mishkachala ba'arba parim ba'arba si'irim. So the Gemara says, well, and we could have each series ending because we have for this particular Yom Kippur four goats, four bulls, and so with each series we're gonna end with this animal. We're gonna pick up with a new animal, and we're gonna then start series number two with the second animal, and series number three with the third animal, and then for the combination when I mix the two animals, the blood of the two animals together, I'll get a fourth set of animals. Again, certainly an unusual scenario, but one way to answer the question. Rava answers the question more fundamentally. Rava amar afilu teima par echad v'sir echad levgule meratze. And to which Rava says that, no, you know what we could suggest over here? Our suggestion over here is going to be that it's not, you're not sprinkling, you are sprinkling water, but it's not water. Meaning that it's true that vis-a-vis to the question of, is the blood serviceable post-piggle? The answer is no, it's not serviceable. On the other hand, vis-a-vis piggle, it's good enough. Meaning to get to the requirement, to satisfy the requirement of, hey, by piggle, I need to conclude the avoda, so vis-a-vis piggle, it's good enough. It's certainly not good enough in terms of counting towards an avoda of hazaah, but to get you to the point of piggle, of ka'atzas, kasher, ka'atzas, puzzle, that it will get you to. And finally, just to wrap up today's daf, so let's go over our numbers one more time. How many hazaahs are there on Yom Kippur? So in the braisa we learned on Amud Aleph, the number was 43. So arba'im v'shalosh v'atanya arba'im v'sheva. So the Gemara brings in another braisa that it's not 43, but rather it's 47. Lokasha, ha'kamanda amr ma'arvin l'kronos, ha'kamanda amr ein ma'arvin. And so the Gemara says that this is a debate which we saw back in Zvachim, which we're seeing now in Menachos, and it comes up obviously in Yuma as well, and that is as follows. After the eight are done in the Kodesh Kedoshim for the bull, and then the eight are done in the Heichal towards the Paroches, and then eight for the goat in the Kodesh Kedoshim and eight for the goat by the Paroches, at that point in time now, do we sprinkle each one separately on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaPanimi, then mix? Or do we first mix and then sprinkle on the four corners? The difference is going to be four hazaos. So that explains the discrepancy between either 43 or 47. Ve'atanya arba'im v'shmona. Now we do also have a brisa that says 48. Lo kasha kamanda amar shirayim ma'akvin, ha'kamanda amar shirayim l'ma'akvin. After the sprinkling of all these bloods that are done, 43 or 47, depending on which position you subscribe to, there's one more thing that's done with the blood, and that is that it's poured on the corner, southwest corner of the outer Mizbeach. That pouring, that's Shficha Shirayim. Is that essential or not essential? If you subscribe to the idea that it's essential, ring it up. That gets you to 48. If it's not essential, so then that keeps you at the number 47. And that explains that discrepancy. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.